As the number one selling walk-in tub in North America, SafeStep walk-in tubs are built to maximize your safety and comfort. Each tub comes standard with a dual hydrotherapy system, so you can enjoy the luxuries of bathing comfortably at home. Soothing jets increase mobility and ease pain, while the rainfall shower head refreshes you from head to toe. Visit SafeStepTub.com today to request your free quote and ask about our special offers.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free. And things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome back. Thank you for joining us here on the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, Board Monkey, and producer par excellence, Mr. Tim Dennis. Very nice. This evening, we have got a fantastic guest. I had the opportunity to meet this lovely lady in Pennsylvania back in October. Her name is Rosemary Ellen Guiley. She's our special guest this evening, and she's written over 30 books covering just about every aspect of the paranormal. She spent the better part of her life investigating the paranormal. She's a speaker, an instructor, and now a movie star. Welcome to the show, Rosemary.
Hi, Dave. It's great to be with you tonight.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. I really appreciate your time and being a part of the show. So now I did throw in the fact that you're a movie star now, Rosemary. So
my latest incarnation.
That's awesome. She's doing movies, Tim.
Really?
Yeah, she won't even be talking to us a week from now.
Are they B-list movies or A-list movies?
These are B-movies. But they're good. They're excellent movies. Independent films. One of them is a trilogy of paranormal stories. The title is called The Larksville Ghost. I'm in a segment on Men in Black. And then I also have a role in a vampire movie called Requiem for a Vampire. And in both cases, I play myself as a paranormal investigator.
Did you find it hard to get into that role? What was your motivation?
Yeah, actually, I did find it kind of hard to play myself. but it was a lot of fun, and I especially enjoyed the vampire movie because vampires are one of my favorite topics. I've got a role in another film by the same producers, Carl Petrie and John Arricchio. This is a ghost story. It's called The Haunting of Danbury House, and once again, I'm playing myself.
Wow. You've got to learn to stretch a little bit, Rosemary.
Well, actually, I would like to play a character, you know, just for a change of pace. But they seem to think I'm on a roll here.
Desperate Paranormal Housewives. Tim, I think we have a new TV show theme.
I like it.
Rosemary, I wanted to mention...
That has potential.
Yeah. We've got... Rosemary was nice enough to donate. She's got a couple of books that she's willing to autograph for a couple of the listeners this evening that either have written in or call in with a question. And I'll tell you what, Rosemary... usually Tim and I just choose. How about we do this? I'll read the questions through the night. If you feel those are good questions, something that was poignant to you, why don't you go ahead and let us know who you want us to send the books out to? All right?
Okay.
No pressure.
No pressure at all. Just these poor people at home crying because they can't get your book. Actually, just kidding. We do have a question here from the internet that I thought would be a good one to start off with, even though you just kind of gave the answer away a little bit ago. Animus and Deb in North Carolina both wrote in a very similar question. And they wanted to know, since you write such a broad range of paranormal subjects, including angels, dreams, werewolves, and ghosts, some must interest you more than others, and what's been your favorite book and or subject to write about?
I would say that vampires and ghosts probably tie. Certainly ghosts are of interest to a lot of people. I do a lot of ghost investigations, and a lot of weird things happen on investigations. Sometimes nothing, but sometimes pretty strange phenomena occur. Vampires intrigue me because they're universal throughout mythology. They're very dark, dangerous creatures, and they really belong to demonology. They're not like the movie creatures that we see in film and read about in fiction. I think they really have to do with our fear of the unknown and death, really.
Now, with this, how old did you get involved in the paranormal? What really, you know, inspired you to get going?
I became interested when I was a kid, and I think in childhood a lot of us are interested in spooky things, but for me the paranormal had special meaning because psychic ability runs in my family, and so I had some unusual experiences with the, seeing the unseen and beings that people might call fairies, in the woods around the house, and that sort of thing. Also, my mother had a lot of precognitive dreams, and that got me interested in the whole world of dreaming and what is it we experience when we dream. I think that dreams really take us beyond time and space and help us to experience other dimensional realities. So from a very young age, I was intrigued to know more about these things, and it became the focus of my my career, my profession, and my lifelong pursuit.
Fantastic. Now, and I've had the opportunity to read a few of your books, and I'm picking up more as we go along. I certainly recommend anybody out there that has an interest in the paranormal, go to Amazon.com and look up Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you'll see a plethora of fantastic books that you could choose from. The Encyclopedia of Ghosts and Spirits, I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me, the full name of the title there, Rosemary.
It's the Encyclopedia of Ghosts and Spirits, and that'll be one of the books that we'll be giving away tonight.
Excellent. And then the other one about vampires is, now I know there's more than vampires in the title, and again, it eludes me, but it's the Encyclopedia of Vampires,
Werewolves, and Other Monsters.
Okay,
and
fantastic.
The other monsters include shape-shifting entities that part of their shape-shifted identity would be human and then part supernatural. And they would be they are of a vampiric nature, that is, they drain something from the living.
Now, have you, in all of these experiences that you've had, have you had the unfortunate or maybe fortunate chance to actually bump into a real vampire or werewolf?
Actually, I think vampires are quite real, but like I mentioned earlier, they're not Dracula, they're not the vampire Lestat. They're a variety of entities that belong to the supernatural realm. One is the restless dead. And we have many cases of hauntings that where a presence that is a dead person or even an animal, perhaps, seems to exist in a place, and living people who encounter that entity are negatively affected. Something is drained from them. That's really what a vampire is. A vampire is something that drains the life force. The other kind of vampire would be more demonic, a supernatural entity that preys upon the living, draining the life force through sexual molestation, nightmares, poltergeist phenomena, sapping energy, affecting health, even affecting your luck, your ability to manifest abundance in life. That's really what the true vampire is, an entity that takes away the life force and the joys of living.
I divorced her.
So you escaped one, huh?
Yes, I did. I didn't even have to drive a stake through her heart.
Sucked a whole lot more than blood out of him, boy, let me tell you.
Now, with the different types, now one of the things you were mentioning where they were sucking out energy, is that more of a physical manifestation, a person, you and I could be there and I could be a physical or an energy-draining vampire and just be pulling the energy from you while you're speaking and around me?
Well, yes. In fact, that's quite a common phenomena, that there are living people who are either deliberate or unwitting psychic vampires. That is, they have the ability to just drain your battery. We've all been in the presence of people like that where, a few minutes and we just kind of feel like exhausted. There are people who learn how to do that deliberately as a way of using somebody else's life force to pump up their own. There are magical techniques, for example, that people can learn to do that. But some people just seem to be unwitting psychic vampires. They don't even realize they're doing that.
Amazing. Right now with us, you're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. Our very special guest is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, author of over 30 books on the paranormal, including the Encyclopedia of Ghosts and Spirits and the Encyclopedia of Vampires, Werewolves, and Other Monsters. We'll be right back with Rosemary right after this.
Riveted to the edge of your seat? Good. There's more to come from the Darkness on the Edge of Town.
As the number one selling walk-in tub in North America, SafeStep walk-in tubs are built to maximize your safety and comfort. Each tub comes standard with a dual hydrotherapy system, so you can enjoy the luxuries of bathing comfortably at home. Soothing jets increase mobility and ease pain, while the rainfall shower head refreshes you from head to toe. Visit SafeStepTub.com today to request your free quote and ask about our special offers.
Lowe's knows you want the best for Dad. This Father's Day, help him take on any project with big deals on DeWalt. Right now, get a free XR 8 amp hour battery when you buy select DeWalt tools. That's not all. Get up to two free select tools when you buy a select DeWalt 20 volt max battery kit. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a work load is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18. Don't miss the biggest Maytag sale of the year at Lowe's. You'll find the Maytag appliances you need, when you need them, at a great price. Plus, when you buy two select laundry appliances, you'll get up to a $100 bonus via instant rebate. Shop Maytag at Lowe's. We help, you save. Offer valid through 531. See store for pricing and offer details. Advertise savings on all major Maytag appliances through Maytag.com and participating retailers. Prices may vary. Additional terms and conditions apply.
I'm Teresa from White Bear Lake, and I needed to refinance my home and do it fast. I contacted a lot of mortgage companies that made promises and commitments that they just couldn't keep. Then I was referred to Keith Troutman. Keith was knowledgeable and worked fast. He listened to what I needed, and within 7 days, we closed on my loan. Other companies promised to save me up to $500 a month. Keith, however, found a program that was right for me and saves me over $1,300 a month. I would recommend Keith Troutman and Tri Minnesota Mortgage to anyone.
Thanks, Teresa. This is Keith Troutman, president and owner of Tri Minnesota Mortgage, and no matter what your situation is, we're here for you. We locate financing programs other brokers cannot. Most lenders use 10 to 20 investors to fund their loans. We have a national investor base of over 70 that ensures you'll get the best loan program available to meet your needs. Call me today at 952-223-5000. I know I can help. Right now, with qualifying loans, we are sending you on a 7-day cruise for two. Certain restrictions apply. Check out our website at cruiseatclose.com for more details. Or call 952-223-5000. That's 952-223-5000.
This is Dave Schrader from the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. Each week, we delve into the web of the unknown and deal with a lot of scary subjects. But nothing makes my blood run colder or scares me more than dealing with technology. That's why we turned to the experts when we wanted our website for the show set up and maintained. In the studio with me is Don Raleigh, owner of Evolve Systems. Don and his exceptional staff were easy to work with and made setting up our site a breeze. Don, what is it that sets you apart from other web developers?
Well, Dave, we make your business visions come to life by creating, maintaining, and hosting all of your internet needs. We do this by listening to our clients. We offer programs and price plans to fit any budget. And Dave, I mean any budget. Call us at 651-628-4000 and put us to work for you.
Call Don at Evolve Systems, 651-628-4000. I did, and I couldn't be happier with the results.
That's because we take the ugh out of technology, Dave. Call us today at 651-628-4000 or visit us on the web at www.evolve-systems.com. Serving the entire United States. That's Evolve Systems, helping you to manage change. Cheers.
2006 is here, and for many of you, another year has passed without treating you and your loved ones to a much-needed getaway. Rocky Shores Resort has just what you're looking for. Join owners Jerry and Kim Pip at their family-themed resort that offers a heated outdoor swimming pool, volleyball court, playground, spacious lodge with games and activities for the whole family and more. With 6, 2, and 3-bedroom cabins that are affordable, comfortable, and fully furnished, and 12 seasonal RV sites, Rocky Shores Resorts is perfect for a private escape or for a family reunion. The resorts are located on the east shores of Bowstring Lake in the heart of the Chippewa National Forest. Here you can relax and enjoy nature in the Great North Woods, experience dozens of area attractions, and get hooked on some of the best northern perch, panfish, bass, and walleye fishing in northern Minnesota. Call 1-866-878-0101 to book reservations or check out their website at rockyshoresresort.com for more information. This year, don't ignore the call of the wild. Embrace it and enjoy yourselves. That number again is 1-866-878-0101. Rocky Shores Resort is open year-round. Call today.
If you read Taps Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
I could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Taps Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology, the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at TapsParamag.com. Bigfoot.com.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it. That condition is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NOCD comes in. NOCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NOCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NOCD.com.
If you want to listen, it's your funeral. Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, Tim Dennis, and our very special guest this evening is Rosemary Ellen Guiley. She's the author of over 30 books in the paranormal, including the Encyclopedia of Ghosts and Spirits and the Encyclopedia of Vampires, Werewolves, and Other Monsters. Before we went to break, we were speaking to Rosemary about different types of vampires, and I don't know if you heard about this, Rosemary, but Tim's got a little news story he'd like to share with you, if you have a second.
I'd love to hear it.
Okay.
Rosemary, we have our very own vampire governor candidate.
Hey, all right.
Jonathan the Impaler Sharkey chose Friday the 13th to formally announce his candidacy. Unlike other candidates, he was quoted as saying, "I'm not going to hide my evil side." Looking for something really, really different in a political candidate this year, you can take a gander at Jonathan the Impaler Sharkey. He'll launch his gubernatorial campaign in Princeton, which he did. He actually walked around in one of the cafes in Princeton, shaking hands, biting the necks of small children, and basically introducing himself on Friday the 13th as a satanic dark priest and the leader of the Vampires, Witches, and Pagans Party. Since there's nothing but a $300 filing fee to stop anyone from running for statewide office, campaigns in Minnesota typically attract colorful and eccentric characters. We had one called Governor Jesse Ventura. he was one of them. Also, coincidentally, Jonathan the Impaler Sharkey, a former pro wrestler. What is it about pro wrestling, Rosemary, that attracts vampires?
I think this guy has an unusual angle, and actually, when you think about it, a vampire governor could have a significant advantage over, eliminating some competition.
At least we know that he's going to be a politician that sucks right up front.
There you go. A couple of interesting things through here, Rosemary. One, he says he's going to be totally open and honest, and unlike other candidates, he's not going to hide his evil side. He also has, an interesting way of dealing with terrorists, rapists, drug dealers, child abusers, repeat drunk drivers, and anybody who preys on the elderly. His pledge is to execute by impalement in front of the state capitol. Your thoughts?
Well, it sounds like he's going to give Vlad the Impaler a run for his money. But it could be an interesting campaign.
Yeah, this will be interesting.
I'd like to see how he deals with the competition.
I wonder if it's going to be a lot of that behind the cloak thing where he's going, with his hand over the top of it saying, "Look into my eyes."
You know, Rosemary,
only going to come out at night?
I think so. We'll change state office hours for government employees only from 5 at night until sun up.
That'd be cool.
I have $300 myself in a bank account, Rosemary. I'm thinking I should run as Timmy the Vampire Slayer. Your thoughts?
Excellent idea.
Okay.
Timmy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah.
Excellent. Going back to vampires now and getting into this topic. Now, we talk about this guy coming out because there is such an underground movement, if you will, of vampire clubs, like fetish clubs, actual groups that get together and have these, do they call them covens for a vampire den or what do they refer to them as?
Some of them do. And it's a very interesting subculture. I think for the most part, they're looking to fictional vampires for a model, not to what you would call the real vampire of folklore, which is a supernatural entity. The fictional vampire is a walking corpse who seems to be a real person but has strange hours, fangs, drinks blood, has supernormal powers. The supernormal powers you don't find in folklore, but I find it interesting because when life imitates art, it can create its own entity. And if enough people become involved in a vampire subculture, I think that they begin to create a reality that is that subculture. And it begins to take on a life of its own and evolve in its own direction. Some of these organizations are very structured, very sophisticated. They have their own language, their own rules and hierarchies. They create their own mythology and history and social behavior. It's like a culture that invents itself and then takes on its own history and becomes its own entity.
Now, have you, in researching these books, have you ever hung out with these groups?
Not to a great extent. My interest has been primarily in the folkloric vampire, the supernatural entity.
Okay. And you don't think that those ever actually existed? It was just folklore, just old wives' tales stories passed down?
Or? Oh, no. I think vampires are quite real. And I think that they have existed universally in human culture. We find vampire entities in all mythologies. So I think that vampires are quite real, but it's the supernatural entity. I don't think that there are walking corpses in the style of Dracula or Vampire Lestat.
Okay, I guess that's where my question was going more. Now, with the werewolves, now, is that based on reality as well, or is that something that was, you know, again, just what I've read in the past from, like, Native American culture, they find the totem of an animal that they kind of become or that they hold up in their religion, if you will. Is that more where werewolves kind of stem from, or give us a little history on werewolves?
Well, just like vampires, there are different types of werewolves and different explanations for werewolves. There are magical cultures, shamanic in nature, where people have learned magical techniques for shape-shifting into animals, and they acquire the characteristics and powers and abilities of those animals. So that would be one type of werewolf. Another type is a supernatural entity, a creature that exists in its own reality. I think that our slice of the universe intersects with a multiverse, other dimensions, and that there are creatures that we call supernatural that exist in these other dimensions in their own right, and occasionally our dimensions cross. There are types of werewolves who would fall into that category as well. There are certain creatures that have their own reality in other dimensions.
Do they get back into their reality then, or are they stranded here, do you think?
I think more we have these bleed-throughs, because one thing we seem to lack with these supernatural creatures is hard physical evidence. Bigfoot is another example of that, where it's been very difficult to prove the existence of Bigfoot with skeletons and, you know, real creatures. Yet there are many, many sightings. And I think that we sort of have windows where we have these encounters, but they're very fleeting, and there's no tangible physical evidence left behind. So these creatures seem to be more unreal than real to us, but I think that they are quite real.
Okay. I've got a set of questions here from Robin Bailey that were emailed in. This kind of follows the same topic. First question is, can angels really be considered as evil? What exactly are shapeshifters, and can they cause harm to a person? And do you know of any hard documented evidence in which shows that energy healing actually works?
Well, we've got three wide-ranging categories there.
Yeah.
Can angels be considered evil? There are good and bad angels in the text dealing with angels. Now, according to the Christian view on angels, a third of angels fell from heaven by following Lucifer, and they became, the demonic entities. But when you read some of the texts outside the canon, books from the Apocrypha and the Pseudepigrapha, which talk about angels, angels are, they're not necessarily good or evil, but they're not necessarily pro-human either. In fact, in some texts, angels are anti-human. They want to have their heaven, and they want people to stay in the earth realm, and they don't want people in their realm. So there are angels who are hostile to humans, but that doesn't necessarily make them evil. They're not demonic. In the ancient texts, people were often afraid of angels because the appearance of an angel meant, you know, God might be sending an angel to punish you. Angels were often sent for course corrections. So our ideas of angels have changed over time. Today we like to think of them as always benevolent, but when you look at the ancient texts, they're not always acting that way towards human beings.
Great. You know what? We'll get to the other two questions here that we have from Robin Bailey. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show with our very special guest, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, author of Encyclopedia of Ghosts and Spirits and the author of Encyclopedia of Vampires, Werewolves, and Other Monsters. We'll be right back.
And harder to take care of ourselves. I'm Robin Leverton, owner of Ciao Bella Permanent Cosmetics in Brooklyn Park. We specialize in beautiful, natural-looking eyeliner, eyebrows, and lip color. We provide professional and personalized service in a sanitary environment. When you choose Ciao Bella, you are guaranteed the gentlest method available. I'll work with you one-on-one to help you achieve your desired look. We offer a full, rich color palette that will accentuate your natural beauty. If you have allergies to conventional makeup, suffer from hay fever, watery eyes, or the embarrassment of little or faint brow color, and you want a look that will stay fresh all day, every day, then we have the perfect solution for you. Time is a rare commodity, and with Ciao Bella Permanent Cosmetics, we help you take control of your time by giving you a low-maintenance, fresh appearance that you will love every day. Book your appointment by January 31st, and you will receive a 25% discount. You deserve to look your best, and at Ciao Bella, we want to help you. Call 612-306-4961. That's 612-306-4961.
Jeff Rusterholz with Edina Realty understands that the housing market is changing, and he's prepared to work with you to put together an aggressive plan to ready your home and help you sell quickly. It's Jeff's goal as your full-service real estate agent specializing in the Twin Cities to provide you with superior service at all times. His local expertise and extensive real estate experience will benefit you whether you're serious about buying or selling a home. By taking time to really listen to your needs and desires, Jeff Rusterholz with Edina Realty will help you find the home of your dreams. And if you're selling a home, his real estate expertise and many effective marketing programs will give you the exposure and edge you need to sell your home quickly and for top dollar. Jeff prides himself on providing unparalleled service, and he looks forward to developing a long-term relationship with you. Visit him online at movewithjeff.com for more details, or call 651-690-8479 to get started on securing your future. That number again, 651-690-8479.
Try not to fall asleep. We'll only give you nightmares. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us on the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show and joining us at darknessradio.com. This is Dave Schrader along with our special guest this evening, author, speaker, instructor, Rosemary Ellen Guiley. She's written over 30 books covering just about every aspect of the paranormal, including the Encyclopedia of Ghosts and Spirits and the Encyclopedia of Vampires, Werewolves, and Other Monsters. Rosemary, before we went to break, we had a couple questions here from Robin Bailey. Second question that we had was, what exactly are shapeshifters, and can they cause harm to a person?
A shapeshifter is someone who has the ability to take on another form, and this is found in shamanic traditions, in magical systems. For example, a person who has the ability to take on an animal form. I think that this is a real magical ability. I'm not certain how widespread it is or how difficult it is to learn how to do that, but I think that there are people who have that ability. Can they do harm to people? If that's the intent, the answer to that would be yes. hexing and cursing are real forces, just as blessings and healings are. And so if a person with magical ability who had the ability to shapeshift wanted to harm somebody or something, they would have that capability, just as someone who had good intent would have the capability of healing.
Fair enough. We are going to open up the phone lines as well. If you'd like to join in on the conversation this evening with Rosemary Ellen Guiley, you can give us a call at the station at 612-375-1400. Again, that number is 612-375-1400. Last question that she had here was, do you know of any hard documented evidence that shows that energy healing actually works?
I'm not quite certain what Robin means by hard documented evidence. There have been so many studies undertaken of thought at a distance, intention at a distance, prayer at a distance. The evidence is piling up that energy healing does work, that there is something about thought and intentionality that has an effect, positive or negative, really, on the physical environment. For myself, I think that we have that evidence that energy healing does exist. I've taken energy healing training in a number of systems. I've done bioenergy, therapeutic touch, a system called Jo-Ray, which is Japanese. It's very similar to Reiki. And from my own experience, I believe that energy healing is a real force, and it can have an effect on living organisms.
Okay. Now, earlier you had spoken about that your abilities, you noticed you were able to actually communicate to spirits in dream form. We have a couple of questions here, one from Ginger Overstreet, and she writes in and says, I read your article, Dreams from the Dead, and I thought it was wonderful. Why do you think that certain people are chosen to be contacted by dead loved ones through their dreams, and what advice would you give them to understand these dreams?
Well, in answer to that, I'd say I'm not certain that such people are chosen. I think that there's something in consciousness that enables extrasensory perception or experiences to take place, like telepathy, clairvoyance, and also communication with the dead, especially through dreams. It's like electricity, and it travels along the channels of least resistance. And so someone who has dream communication with the dead just may simply have something in their consciousness, like a psychic DNA factor, that makes that easier for them to be a receptor than other people.
Is it easier for the spirit to manifest itself, perhaps in dream form?
I think that there's something about the dreaming state of consciousness that facilitates this sort of encounter. It becomes more possible or more likely than when the living are in waking consciousness. Dreams take us outside of space and time to these intersection points with other realities, and that includes the places where we go when we die.
Okay. Now, I noticed, you know, I had an experience like this when my grandfather passed on, and I hesitate to even call it a dream, Rosemary. I mean, it was so vivid. You know, and actually the one thing that stuck with me, and you know, Ginger had asked, why do you think some people are chosen? I think it might be if you're open to it and you're allowing yourself for the communication. But I believe that the reason that they come through in dream form too is, and I had this conscious thought, was during the dream, I'm seeing this now because if he appeared to me in my, you know, mirror at home, I'd wet myself or, you know, have a car accident on the road if he popped up in my back seat. You know, in the subconscious, it's probably a lot more easy for you to accept and take.
I think you're right, Dave. It's easier to assimilate and accept in the dream state. And these dreams are very vivid, very real. I call them encounter dreams because, to me, they are real experiences that just simply happen to occur in the dreaming state rather than in the waking state. A lot of times these dreams happen unexpectedly. We don't go to sleep thinking, I'm going to try and communicate with someone who's passed over. And I know of cases where people really want to have that experience and they don't. And they don't understand why they can't. Again, I think it's factors that we don't really understand about the makeup of consciousness and the ability of something to penetrate through barriers in our consciousness.
Do you think it also might have to do with the need or the import for the dream?
We certainly can't ignore emotional and psychological factors like that. There may be a high need for closure, like an emotional closure on the part of the living that is a factor in these experiences. For example, when my father died, I had a need for closure. He died very suddenly, and I was too far away, and so he passed, you know, out of my life very abruptly. I had a need for closure, and I did have one of these encounter dreams with him. But when my mother passed after an illness, and I had spent time with her, I was able to have that kind of closure while she was still living, and I did not have an encounter dream involving her.
Okay. Yeah, that's similar to my experience with my grandfather's passing. I'm horrified of the thought of death. It's always bothered me. It's kept me up at night worrying about death. And when I lost my grandfather, that was the first person really close to me, and I was devastated and in really bad straits. And I wondered if the reason he appeared to me, because he came in and told me, hey, kid, you can't be like this. You got to move on with your life. And he answered all these amazing questions for me. You know, answers that I never had before. So I really feel that he definitely was talking to me in some form. Now, do you think that, is it possible that these aren't even our relatives that are coming back to us, but an angelic form or host that's coming to answer these questions or to soothe us using a guise that we see as familiar and trusting?
I think,
or could it be an evil entity doing the same thing, I guess?
Well, I think we can't rule out that possibility. It could very well be that we're getting some sort of reassurance from spirit or the Godhead or God, and it takes that form because that's what we need for our medicine, so to speak. It's certainly possible. My own personal feeling is I think we really do have an encounter with a deceased individual.
Okay. Now, we do have a question as a follow-up from Lisa in North Carolina. She wants to know, can a person control their dreams, and how?
It is possible to control your dreams. It's called lucid dreaming. Some people do it quite naturally. They're born with the ability to manipulate their dreams, affect the outcome, and the content of dreaming. And I know individuals who can do that at will almost every night. And there are people like me who have an occasional lucid dream, and you kind of wish you could do it more often because they're usually interesting and very enjoyable. There are a number of techniques that dream workers have experimented with to try and induce and increase the control of dreams. People have varying rates of success. And again, I think it boils down to natural ability. It's just like a person's going to play the piano very well or, you know, plunk along playing chopsticks. But there are books that go into these techniques. I talk about some of them in some of my books, Dream Speak, Dreamer's Way, Stephen LaBerge's work, his book out called Lucid Dreaming. He's done quite a bit of research on it. There's another book called Control Your Dreams. So you can experiment with these techniques and see how well they work for you.
What do you feel the correlation is between, you know, these lucid dreams and perhaps a form of astral projection? Do you think that they go hand in hand? Maybe that's why you can control things a little better?
Actually, I think all dreaming is a form of astral projection. I think that we're out of body and out of the physical world whenever we dream. It's just that sometimes when we dream, we're more aware of that than others. And we may find ourselves in bizarre landscapes like a Salvador Dali painting or doing something that seems to be quite ordinary, only we know we're dreaming. One technique that has worked for a lot of people in terms of lucid dreaming is to do self-programming before you go to sleep, that I will be aware that I'm dreaming while I'm dreaming. I will be able to control the content of my dreams. That works for a lot of people. Sometimes we're dreaming and we're suddenly aware of the fact that we're dreaming. At that point, many people lose lucidity right there. But there are some techniques that work for people where if you try and touch things in the dream and feel how solid they are, look at your hands, look at your feet, ways of sort of connecting connecting with the dream reality that help to maintain the lucid state.
Okay. Do you believe, though, that with this form of astral projection, when you're out there, if you're having a negative or bad dream, can you bring these things back with you?
I'm not quite certain what you mean. You mean bring dream images and content into the waking world?
If I'm dealing, you know, I've had dreams, just as an example, where I'm dealing with evil creatures, incarnations that aren't my children. But when, you know, I feel like it's more of a lucid dream, more of like an astral projection. And I've been worried when I've come back, is there a chance of bringing these entities with me or back in? I don't know exactly how to format the question. Do you follow what I'm asking at all here?
I think that our dream experiences stay in the dream world.
Okay, so possession you don't believe can occur by dragging something back from the dream world, like the Freddy Krueger movies. I mean, they were able to drag back this evil force sometimes into reality.
Well, one of the things about the paranormal realm is it's impossible to rule anything out. I'm not aware of any cases of people who feel that they've become possessed by having a bad dream. However, in folklore, the whole experience of the nightmare is linked to demonic entities, that a demonic entity comes and causes you to have a nightmare. And so that would be a form of possession, at least temporary possession, you know, an entity causing you to have a negative experience.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to go to another break here real quick, Rosemary. I'd like to have you back on in the future to cover more of the dream interpretation and dreamscaping, if that's something that you'd be open to.
Well, dreams are one of my favorite areas, too. And
great.
Because of psychic dreaming in my family, I've spent quite a few years paying attention to my dreams.
Good. Well, we'll definitely have you back for that. We're going to talk to you again in a few minutes here about some of your actual experiences with the spirits and things that you've encountered in your investigations. We're listening, or you're listening, to the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show with our very special guest star, Rosemary Ellen Guiley. Thank you very much for tuning in. We'll be right back.
We're taking calls for our guests right now at 612-375-1400. The darkness is closing in. Be sure to get your question in quick.
Tri-Minnesota Mortgage was founded on one simple principle, to be your complete mortgage resource. Keith Troutman and the experts at Tri-Minnesota Mortgage will assist you with all your needs. They've built a reputation for client satisfaction and are devoted to making the mortgage process as easy as possible. You get to work with a broker that understands your needs. Finding the right loan is only the beginning. Tri-Minnesota Mortgage will assist you every step of the way to ensure smooth sailing with personal one-on-one help. I'm Dave Schrader, the host of Darkness on the Edge of Town. When I bought my new home, I turned to Keith Troutman to help me. He made what could have been a very stressful time easy and painless. He was considerate and realizes that this is more than just a job to him. It's the future for you. I recommend them to my friends, and I'm happy to recommend them to you. To take the first step to a financially free tomorrow, call 952-223-5000 or visit them on the web at cruiseatclose.com. For a fresh start, no matter what your current situation, call Keith at Tri-Minnesota Mortgage. That's 952-223-5000. As Keith says, it's your money. Keep more of it. That's Tri-Minnesota Mortgage, 952-223-5000.
Howdy, this is Don Raleigh from Evolve Systems. Evolve Systems can't help you lose weight. We don't know anything about diamonds, and we can't help you save a boatload of money on your car insurance. What we can do is help you with your merchant processing. We work with small businesses to provide credit card processing, debit card processing, gift cards, and check acceptance. Whether you need a point-of-sale system, a credit card terminal, or want to accept payments over the internet, Evolve Systems will work with your small business to find the right solution for your merchant processing needs. Ask us how you can get a free copy of QuickBooks 2006. You can reach us at 651-628-4000 or on the internet at www.evolve-systems.com. Now you have a friend. Well, not yet. But give us a call at 651-628-4000 and we can chat. Evolve Systems, where we help you to manage change. This is Don Raleigh. Cheers.
If you read Taps Paramag every month,
You'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Taps Parabag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology, the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at tapsparamag.com.
In the Amityville Horror, the ghost told them to get out the house. White people stayed in there. Now that's a hint and a half for your a ghost say get the out, I would just tip the out the door. They walked and looked in the toilet bowl with blood in the toilet.
I said, that's peculiar.
I would have been in the house and said, oh, baby, this is beautiful. We got a chandelier hanging up here, kids outside playing. It's a beautiful neighborhood. We ain't got nothing to wear. I really love them. This is really nice.
Get out.
Too bad we can't stay, baby.
We're the type of guys who would have stayed just for the extra company. Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome back. This is your host, Dave Schrader, along with Tim Dennis. This evening, our very special guest is Rosemary Ellen Guiley. Rosemary is an author of over 30 books covering just about every aspect of the paranormal, and we've about picked her brain raw on almost all of them, I would guess. She's been a paranormal investigator. She's a speaker and instructor as well. Speaking of being an instructor, you can check out Rosemary's site at visionaryliving.com. That's visionaryliving.com. We will have a link on our site available to click on to go there. So if you have other questions you'd like to email in directly to Rosemary, you can certainly do that or check up her upcoming schedule because she's always out there on the lecture circuit somewhere. Also find out about what other books she has coming out and see if there's something that might be a good fit for you and what you're researching. Going back to being an instructor here, I do have a couple questions I'd like to cover, and then we'll get into the ghosty stuff. I have a question here from Sheena, and a, kind of a follow-up from Robin Ryan, two of our listeners. Sheena asks, when I attended your workshop at the Penn State Paranormal Conference, I discovered that I have some psychic abilities. The problem is that even though all the thoughts that I was receiving were real psychic thoughts, they appeared to just be random thoughts popping into my head. How can I fine-tune my gift so that I can tell the difference between the actual psychic thoughts and random thoughts?
It just takes a lot of practice to do that, and you have to pay attention to body cues, for example, emotional changes in emotional feeling.
For yourself or the person that you're reading?
It's yourself, because we get a lot of thoughts through the psychic stream all the time. You know, we're constantly getting input of data, and it just takes a lot of experience to discern the difference between, you know, the intuitive psychic thought and impulses and, you know, the thoughts in your head.
Is that why during, like, our class that we took with you, you had us just say any of the words, anything random that popped out in the beginning when you're testing this to know the difference between the random thoughts and the actual psychic content? Is it good to practice with people so that you can say these random thoughts, see if you're actually hitting on anything?
It is good to practice with someone because what a lot of people don't realize is that things that seem to be random thoughts really are bits of purposeful information. And you have to learn how to filter that, and some of it is useful in bigger ways than other ways. But until you pay attention and you try and learn the differences between these inputs of data, a lot of it's going to seem like a jumble to you. Some people, it's a little more obvious than others. You know, people who are born with a more marked psychic ability, a natural bent for it than others, it's easier for them to have that discernment. Most of us have such a large amount of busy stuff going on in our heads all the time that we have to step back and slow down and, you know, practice this filtering in order to get the most useful intuitive information.
Now, you have an excellent book about that, too. Do you want to recommend the name of the book people can look up?
It's called Breakthrough Intuition. And it's got a lot of exercises in it for just testing your own abilities. All of us get intuitive and psychic information in ways that are unique to us through the five senses. And you have to learn how your own senses are feeding you this information before you can build your ability. So the book is oriented to helping people see the different ways that information comes through the senses, what their strengths are, and then how to work with those strengths to enhance their ability.
Fantastic. Now, I've got to ask you, Rosemary, with all the experiences that you've had, all the books that you've written, all the research you've done, do you still get creeped out?
Every now and then, yes. I've never been truly terrified in the Hollywood sense, you know.
Well, we're coming up to the top of the hour here. Everybody's just nestling into bed to get all comfortable. Let's let's shake them up a little bit, Rosemary. Can you tell us about a couple of the creepier, more strange examples that you've had happen when you've been out investigating?
Well, I have had dream invasion, mostly from people who have been practicing negative forms of magic, not from any supernatural entities. And for me, that's a serious breach of my own defenses when something penetrates the dream state, and I have an unpleasant dream. And these dreams are distinctly different from ordinary dreams. And I take remedial action to, you know, do a little cleansing and, you know, buffing up the barriers and that sort of thing. I did have one experience where I inadvertently summoned up a rather nasty demon, not because I wanted to, but I was doing some work on a book, and I think through my intensity of concentration and the fact that I kept going over and over the name of this entity, I inadvertently summoned it in to the place where I was working, and some poltergeist phenomena happened, and there was kind of an icky feel in the atmosphere.
What type of activity was occurring?
Lights went on, off and on. The dog in the house was hysterical. The people who were, I was guest in somebody else's house, and the people who were there felt that there was something ugly in the house and they didn't know what it was. And I think it was because some sort of rift had occurred through the intensity of my concentration on the writing of the material. And it was an inadvertent invocation through the name. And it went away. It didn't stay. There was nothing really to anchor it in place. And I just resolved to be a little more careful.
Wow. So you got to be careful what you focus on.
Yeah, it was kind of creepy. And I wasn't affected at all. But the people who were there were affected by it.
Now, how about during your actual paranormal investigations? What's about the weirdest, creepiest thing that's ever happened to you out there?
Well, I have seen objects move about. I've had a few visual sightings of apparitions.
Full apparitions, the shadow people. By the way, that reminds me, Rosemary's doing some research on shadow people. If you go to her website, she would really love to hear about any experiences you might have had with shadow people. And you can do that at visionaryliving.com.
And thank you very much, Dave, because I'm doing some research to try and get a handle on what exactly the shadow people are. Are they entities who that's their only form? Are they projections from our subconscious? Are they manifestations of entities that don't come into our dimension fully formed, so they're just shadows? I'm collecting a lot of interesting experiences from people. Mostly they seem to be nighttime visitations, especially bedroom visitations, dark outlines. Some figures are threatening, some aren't. And some literally act like shadows.
Wow. Now, have you had any experiences with the malevolent type of shadow people yourself?
I haven't, no. I was going into some of the apparitional sightings I had. You were, I think, asking if I saw fully formed apparitions. I've never seen a fully formed apparition. I've seen, like, floating heads and, you know, glimpses of, like, an upper part of a body. This is very characteristic of some of our visual experiences of supernatural realms, as we don't get the full figure. Some people actually do see ghostly figures that they take to be real people, however, so there's quite a range.
How about being pushed, shoved, slapped, bit? Anything strange from the paranormal?
I have felt touches on me. I've never been shoved, but I have felt pushes, pinches, cold spots. More often than not, I've sensed presences rather than actually seen them. Smells are very common, too. For example, smell smoky odors or perfumes or something like that that you find in your research then was associated with somebody who's passed on.
Do you find that more hauntings that are taking place now, or are they passive spirits, or are there more malevolent spirits coming through now?
Well, I would say that many investigators out there feel that there's been an increase in malevolent kinds of hauntings. And I don't know whether that's just we're more aware of all kinds of hauntings now. I don't think hauntings are on the increase per se. I think our awareness of them is increasing because more people are interested in ghost and paranormal investigation. More people are doing investigations. I think we're uncovering more of what's already there.
Great.
But more people experiencing malevolent ones?
We'll have to cover that with you the next time. I guess we're going to have to we're wrapping up on the end of the show. We really appreciate you being with us this evening, Rosemary. Rosemary Ellen Guiley is the author of over 30 books on the paranormal, including the Encyclopedia of Ghosts and Spirits and the Encyclopedia of Vampires, Werewolves, and Other Monsters. Our very special thanks to Rosemary. You can join her on her website at visionaryliving.com. You can also purchase her books on Amazon.com or most major retailers. Tune in next week when we welcome one of the foremost authorities in the paranormal field today, John Zaffis. John Zaffis has over 30 years of experience studying and investigating the paranormal. He'll share his firsthand paranormal experiences with ghosts and poltergeist, as well as demonic and diabolical stories. We'd also like to thank all of our sponsors this evening, especially Evolve Systems, for doing such a great job setting up and maintaining our website. They make it possible for listeners to hear the show live on the downplay on the website. You're listening to AM 1470 KLBB, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota.